We are on to hour number two of DVD. As we move on, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Adam Vingren has the day off. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. You can call or text us, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, of course, DVD is now presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. So, D-Mace.
Yes.
Any more shakeout from the pro day as we get removed? It's always interesting to watch the narrative unfold after the pro day. Did anything change? Did you notice anything different? What was, when you looked around and read and watched, you know, the different channels and people who cover it, did you notice any theme that jumped out to you?
Outside, nothing really outside of what I think the normal theme was, is, listen, you can't, and we talked about this earlier, you can look at it as, you know, what he did and how the Titans interacted with him, that the Titans are going to draft him. So, you know, and then there's the other half that are saying it's just a smokescreen. It still don't mean that the Titans will, you know, take Ward at the number one pick. You know, they've, you know, and for those that are more so on, you know, they're taking them campaign, it's, look at what the Giants did. They're definitely not trying to move up. But then on the other side, say, well, they're bringing them in for another private workout because they're not quite sure. I can poke holes in both sides, but that's the trend that continues to sort of evolve here or sort of continues, is no one, at least that I have, you know, been listening to or read, no one outside of what I said earlier, the one person that I think said definitively they were taking, in his mind, they were taking Cam Ward. But outside of that, it's, the trend is nobody knows. They don't. Because nobody really want to, you know, say definitively, especially those that are tweeting, you know, 100 times a day about the NFL and follows it close. Nobody wants to say the Titans are definitively doing this one way or another. So that's the trend that I see continuing to happen. Now, as we get closer and closer, especially if Aaron Rodgers goes off the board, off the free agency board, as we start getting closer and closer to the draft, then I think we will – I think you'll see people leaning more to one side or the other. But even with that, until the Tennessee Titans hand in that card about whether they're going to take, because I think if they stay, they're taking Cam Ward. I'm more so toward leaning that way. Not to say, I'm not saying that they will not move out of that spot, but I think if they stay in that spot, it does look like they're pointing toward Cam Ward is their guy. But I don't know if they're going to stay in that spot or not.
So TD has weighed in on this. The cost of trading up to the first pick in next month's draft to select Cam Ward has increased after the Titans saw Cam Ward work out at Pro Day. So the Titans plan to hold an additional private workout and throwing session with Ward, whom the team has become increasingly impressed with. So the price has gone up based on, I guess, their evaluation at Pro Day. So we'll see. Now, I understand we've got Jonathan Hutton with us from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. So glad to have Hutt with us. Hutt, what's going on?
Willie, I apologize. The internet in the Gulch is it's not cooperating today. So if I'm spotty, I apologize.
I mean, the Gulch. What's going on in the Gulch? Yeah, this is supposed to be high end. I thought the Gulch was where it was at.
A ton of construction is going on in the Gulch.
Hey, last time we were in the Gulch is March, the beginning of March Madness, and it was the SEC tournament, and boy, oh yeah. Boy. Was it packing? We had a little trouble with our internet.
I listen to you.
Okay. I feel hurt.
I guess we blame it on the state bird of Tennessee, the crane.
Yeah,
Tony Giordano, he built everything here.
There's a lot of cranes around town, that's for sure.
There are. And his name's on all of them.
So, Hutt, the question we started off with is there a theme that came out of Cam Ward's pro day for you? Is there anything that has changed? Has his stock increased at all? Because according to TD, they feel like the price has gone up for the first pick, which is obviously what the Titans want. They want to either be able to take Cam Ward if they really like him or be able to get a haul for trading out of that spot.
The only thing that changed for me is just his desire and his drive to be the number one overall pick for the Tennessee Titans, not for another team. Like, a pro day, it is set up on a golden platter to perform well for a quarterback, right? You're throwing your guys. It's on your turf. The drills are set up a certain way for you. It's great. I just like the fact that he's, you know, making a big play and going over the Titans and saying, I'm solidifying this today. You know, like, that's – I like that. My guess is that's kind of the vibe in the dinner on Sunday night with the team. And now we wait on the private workout, and that's where you put them through the drills that you want to see. And I mean, I just don't know how at this stage the quarterback isn't the answer for number one for the Tennessee Titans. I just, with what they've done this offseason, I realize somebody could come way over the top with a trade offer. But given the quarterback options right now and knowing what everyone has said that this is not a great quarterback draft. I don't know why this would be the draft where a team would come so over the top that they would give you an offer that you can't refuse. And in a 50-50 proposition anyway, when it comes to quarterbacks and drafting them, and I mean, that's, you know, Mariota, Winston, we heard that ad nauseum. I like the fact that the quarterback, the best quarterback in this draft is telling the Titans, this is my spot. I'm here to take it. I like that better than just being the draft pick with an opportunity to come in and get the job. No, be the guy that's coming in and taking the job. I love that about Cam Ward and how he's shown that.
Well, this is interesting along those lines. D-Mace, you can weigh in. I know you've got a follow-up for Hutt here on this subject. This is according to TD. At one point, Ward rolled out, completed a pass, and then shared some words with Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker after the play. He said, I told them I'm solidifying it today. They finally got to see me throw in person. That should be all they need to see. It almost sounds as if he's saying, I want to be the Titans pick at one. What, does that mean something to you, D-Mace?
Yeah. I mean, it's just the confidence that I believe that is being shown, by Cam Ward, that, listen, I am the guy. And that's what I want to sort of lead into, because when you were talking, I was, trying to pick out certain things, and then it popped at me when you talk about the quarterback draft, and this may not be a good draft for quarterbacks. Now, what feeds the draft? What feeds, eyes to the television or fingers to the Twitter sphere when there's more than one quarterback? That's what feeds it. When there's two, three, four, like last year, when there was like four or five quarterbacks, that is what feeds the beast. Everybody loves that. But when there's only one guy, everybody says, well, this is not a good draft. This is not a good draft for quarterbacks. Well, I think Cam Ward was saying to you, listen, this may not be a good draft for them and, who they want, outside of that number one pick. In regards to quarterback, but you got the number one pick. And I'm showing you that I am the dude. There's nobody close to me. It may not be a good draft overall for the position, but I'm telling you, I'm going to be that guy. I'm that guy. And I think he's right in a sense. Because had it been closer with Shedeur Sanders and then Jackson Dart, and maybe throw in another quarterback that's on that fringe of late first, maybe second, somewhere in there.
Sure.
If it was closer, like all these guys are number, top 20 picks, then this wouldn't be considered a bad quarterback draft.
Well, let me ask you this way. Is he talking about Shedeur, or is he talking about Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter?
I think he's talking about everybody. More importantly, I think it's It's whoever else they deem that is close to him at that position.
But there's a quarterback draft, and then there's the draft, right? Uh-huh. Okay, so if he's talking – I mean, again, I love the confidence. Mm-hmm. Just a quick segue. We wouldn't have heard Mariota say this.
No.
Jake Locker's not saying this. Those guys were talented and had the right to be in that position. I just like the – there's a moxie to it that I don't know the Titans have had, and Will Levis is a second-round pick and can say that, but he can't say it this way. So, like, I like that. Number – going back to the Shador and Jackson Dart thing, like, it should already be solidified if Cam Ward's the guy. And I think it kind of is that he's the number one of the class. But very rarely do you have a quarterback in a draft that can go number one overall solidifying things over a pass rusher or a corner/wide receiver. So, like, that also does solidify that this is a down-year quarterback. But it doesn't have to be a bad pick for the Tennessee Titans. In fact, I mean, if you need the quarterback and this guy is a number one caliber talent for you, like a starter, number one on the depth chart, go with him. Again, unless there is a trade that is just going to blow everyone's minds. And I don't think this is the draft for that, given what we're seeing in free agency and how, you know, teams are just trying to, I mean, I think what's going to happen is we're going to see some shock value with some of the other quarterbacks that have been pushed down the line by the draft pundits get drafted higher now because of teams that are desperate based on what they did or did not do this offseason. The Titans control their entire draft map. They know whatever decision they want to make today, if they want to make one, they can get it right. They will have that lined up for them perfectly on April 24th. And I think Cam Ward is going to – I mean, if he's saying that at his pro day, he's going to show even more confidence in that alpha drive, I think, over the next month, and that's only going to help him with this group.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. So Tim Hasselbeck hit us with a really interesting way of looking at Cam Ward. And
I love those discussions, by the way. Sorry to interrupt, Willie. But I think he's very insightful, and there's a different – view, or maybe the same viewpoint, but from a different angle in the room. I really like his perspective on things.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And so you kind of touched on a theme that he's hit on. He said, even if you think that Cam Ward is not the spectacular superstar caliber, true franchise quarterback, if he's your starter into a second contract, which would be more than Marcus Mariota was, more than Vince Young was, obviously more than Jake Locker was, right, then that's still a very valuable pick, even though maybe you're always going to be fighting that, well, he was the first pick in the draft, he should be better. You know, you'd have to you have to get over that. But he used an Andy Dalton and some other guys that were just good, solid quarterbacks for a long time, won a lot of games. And he kind of put Cam Ward maybe in that class of evaluation. And is that worth the first pick in the draft? I think that's the central question.
Well, I mean, if that's the floor, yes, because look, it's a great conversation to have, but we're comparing him to the floor of players at their ceiling, right? Like, so Andy Dalton's Andy Dalton, and we kind of know that gauge. Well, if you've hired the coach who is the quarterback background guy who's supposed to be the developer, and it's draft, develop, retain. Well, now it's about development, and if the coach has any talent in developing those players, then if the floor is Andy Dalton, it better be above the floor. Like, I know that's kind of, weaving the web to get to a better player, but number one pick caliber needs to be at the level of the number one picks that come in the league, and we continually talk about them being in the mix for a Super Bowl championship. That's the expectation of that pick at that position. And if you're just getting good, not great, my guess is, in this theoretical idea, he's probably going into his second or third offense by the time his second contract rolls around.
Yeah, the high floor is definitely something to consider. And I think that's where Tim Hasselbeck's evaluation is, right? He said because he's played so much football at three different places, he's got a lot of reps.
Point,
this was the Hasselbeck theory that you have a pretty good projectable floor, that you know enough that you've got a better sense that he's not going to completely flop. Right, because there's enough there to evaluate. That I'd never really thought about it in those terms. Probably most people don't, especially when you're talking about the first overall pick. But that is a little comforting that you feel pretty good that you're not getting Ryan Leaf.
Ryan Leaf, and also, like, what we don't know, there's a ton of tape, which is great because he's not Anthony Richardson in this regard.
Right.
But what can you find out about the guy's mental makeup? How is he going to handle the huddle? How is he going to handle his teammates? How does he lead? But beyond that, how does he handle criticism? How does he handle the public scrutiny and the pressure? Those are things that the top tier A-list QBs deal with in a much different way than the average NFL quarterback. And that can set you apart with things. Everybody's going to go through these trials and tribulations. Cam Ward's going to hit that too. Caleb Williams hit that last year. How do they handle that without breaking and snapping under the pressure and then just becoming content with what they are or who the organization is? Taking the Bengals to the next level. This time during Burrow's draft in 2019, we were discussing, does he even want to play in Cincinnati because they can't find the quarterback and they suck? And now he plays for an organization that paid two wide receivers. Like that's the guy that you have to find. And you have to find out if Cam Ward is that dude. That's what we don't know in a pro day, but I'm trying not to read in too much of the comment. I'm solidifying it today. I need him to solidify all of that. And did he do that at Miami? I mean, some of those games were thrilling, but it's more than just throwing across your body in shorts and a t-shirt. And I like and that's also like the high floor. That's more than high floor, though. And if you can find that aspect, I think you're onto something in terms of the development, because the guys we're saying is the high floor, those guys don't have that at the NFL level. So if you can mold something around that extra, the extra idea of a quarterback being the franchise player, the intangible of what you can't just inherit or be talented or born with, more than athletic ability. If you combine those two, you've got a franchise QB that's a second or third contract.
Yeah, I get it. I understand what you're saying, Hutt, because I think you make some great points here. I look at it from the standpoint, and then I want to move to the Vols quickly. I look at it from the standpoint of just like, you know, taking tests, and then you have the final. There are two or three tests you got to take before you get to the final. And you've shown in all those tests that, hey, listen, I'm an A student or B student, whatever it is, but I'm an A student. Then you get the finals, and you say, you know what? I'm going to solidify it because maybe y'all didn't see all of what I was telling y'all or y'all couldn't believe it, but I'm going to solidify it by acing this test and showing you who the student I am. I think that's what Cam Ward was doing. Like, the tape was there from the games, but then you talked to me during the combine and you talked to me prior to me actually doing my pro day. You've talked with me, and then you're going to talk to me. So I'm just solidifying it right now because we went through all the stuff, the minutiae we had to go through. I'm just solidifying it right now, again, that yep. I am the guy in the draft, period. If you got the number one pick, you better be picking me. Because he knows the situation that the Titans are in, too.
One thing we do know, like that we keep hearing increasingly intrigued, I think that's the most recent report. That was a weird way to describe the number one pick.
Is that going to be the buzz phrase now?
Increasingly intrigued. I'm thinking like, what? Like, I will go back to just Cam Ward. Uh-huh. Man, have we stopped talking about Shedeur Sanders?
Yes.
Boy,
yes.
Have we ever?
Yeah, you know, increasingly not intrigued is the, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, That's the other part of it too. It seems to be Cam Ward or trade out, but that I don't know how it's not Cam Ward with this team right now and where they are.
Now, how do you see the Vols faring out in this game? Obviously, the two previous meetings, Tennessee lost to Kentucky. Kentucky seems to be they're the same Kentucky team that I think that we've seen the last 10 years. The only difference is the coach is different, and maybe they get a little bit further because he's coaching them more than expecting them to do it because they're all, you know, five-star guys. But they've had their problems with Kentucky, and I'm not sure they've been able to rectify them enough to, you know, play Kentucky and beat and beat them for the first time this season. Now, I know better than anybody how tough it is to beat an opponent three times in a row. But, man, oh, man, it seems like Kentucky has gotten a lot better. And I'm not saying UT hasn't gotten better, but I'm not sure they've gotten to a point where this matchup is not going to be one that doesn't favor them or favor them.
You're talking about Kentucky, right?
I'm talking about favoring UT in this matchup.
Okay, well,
yes.
See, the interesting thing, I think Tennessee was favored in Vegas in both previous matchups.
Yeah. But I can't see how they would be. I'm sure they probably are favored, but I don't see.
Yeah, Tennessee is favored.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
a third time. Yeah. So if you're a betting person, I get it. But well, man,
And Mace, do you have the shooting numbers?
I do. I was just looking them up as you were saying, because I think this is part of the answer. In the first game that was at Thompson Bowling, take a guess at what Tennessee was from three.
I
watched the game. You probably did too, Hutt.
Yeah.
It
was atrocious. They hit like three or four.
Well, in the first game, if I remember correctly, it was really bad in the first half. It got a little bit better. But they ended up 11 for 45. They took 45 threes.
Man.
And that's 24%. That's not good. And they had to get to 11, and I think that was a lot late when they were behind. But they shot the ball awful. And at Rupp Arena, another loss, they went 3 for 18 from 3.
Yeah.
So I think this is why I've been saying all along, this is the issue with Tennessee. Now, in their first couple games, those guys were knocking, those same guys who couldn't throw it in the ocean in those games, were knocking down the open one, right? And they become a much, much tougher team to beat. Almost nobody could beat them, I don't think, if they're hitting from the outside. But I don't know exactly. Kentucky's not known, Hutt, for being a great defensive team. So I don't know why Tennessee shot the ball so poorly against them. I think you can maybe make the case that Kentucky just caught them on the right night.
I think so. And look, Kentucky, side note on this, that I can't believe we're talking about Kentucky and Arkansas both in the Sweet 16 with new head coaches the way that it went down a year ago. But the way that Kentucky is playing, and I've heard from so many Vols fans that did not want this matchup. And I think from the way this Tennessee team is made up, you started by saying, what do I think about Tennessee? I think Tennessee can be a Final Four championship caliber team right now. I've changed my view on like how far they could go, because Chad and I were discussing this earlier in the week, that the player right now in the tournament that you trust the most. I went off the board. I went with Meshack. I trust him game in and game out to make a play and on the defensive end. Like I just love the consistency and the makeup of him. And they've got two dudes on two defensive guys that I don't see much of in this tournament, in a tournament of the alpha dog programs right now, where they're seated. It's going to be a great. It's the best atmosphere I think we're going to see of the Sweet 16, based on the location and the fan bases that are going to go there. And it's the dome. I don't like the dome aspect, but you guys know what I'm saying. I think it's going to be packed. I just like the Rick Barnes aspect of take the week, zero in, and figure out why we lost the game. I just think it was just shooting. And I think the X factors of the tournament style, you know, one and done. I like the defensive mentality that Tennessee can play this year instead of just relying on the three. They can win in different ways, and chances are they can win with the offensive way if they want to this weekend.
I think
this week, sorry.
And as we let it go, I know we're past the break here, but wasn't the first game at Tennessee, Ziegler got shaken up. He thought he might have hurt himself.
Like
he left the floor for a while and came back.
Yeah.
He ended up 1 for 11 from three that night. So that certainly was not his best game.
No, and
for sure.
And then he didn't turn it back on. Like he didn't have the Vanderbilt aspect at Tennessee, where he was not having a great game, and then all of a sudden he turned it on.
Oh yeah, took over the
game. Like that's the type of player that I think they've got for the tournament that can be the X factor that can get you to a Final Four.
Yeah, I agree. I think if Tennessee plays the way they've been playing, that will be enough to get past Kentucky.
But props to Pope. I mean, it's been a tremendous job there.
Yeah, he's done a really good job. Hutt, great stuff. Enjoy the tournament.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you again next week. Get that internet. Talk to the people in the Gulch. You know people, right?
I know.
Get that internet going. You're big time. Let's go. Let's get the
That wants the it's not the Verizon internet, but it's something else that they lay in here that is just the gold internet that, you know, screws everybody else up that works from home.
Okay. Jonathan Nutt with us.
You know, the not the cable, but whatever, the fiber. That's it, the fiber.
Do we need to get the Jim Carrey, the cable guy from the movie back in there? That may not be what you want. That may not be what you want.
No.
He might get you hooked up with some stuff initially, but then some problems start arising. Yeah. Just ask Matthew Broderick for that movie.
What I'll do is I'll just go down to Sunda or, you know, I'll go to L.A. Jackson in the middle of the day, and they'll have internet going.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yep.
All right. We're back with more of DVD. We'll break down this Tennessee-Kentucky because I think this is going to be a heck of a game. We're coming back here on DVD 102.5 The Game.
Guy is a friend of mine. I'm a preferred customer. All I have to do is page him, and we should have this fixed in no time.
Hi. Is there a problem with your service?
Yeah, my cable is out.
Really? So you called me. Funny how you call when you need something. Is that how you treat people?
Well, I've been really busy. Can you get my cable going? Robin is here. Hey! Please, this is important.
But calling me back isn't.
I'm sorry. Please, can you help me out?
This is a lesson to Jonathan Hutton. Over in the Gulch, he said the internet's having some problems. So we can maybe just change the era, because that was a 1990s movie, The Cable Guy. Now it's like Wi-Fi Guy, right? Would that be correct, David?
Yes, that is
maybe
correct.
Maybe that's the sequel, Wi-Fi Guy. But be careful who you call. As Matthew Broderick said, I'm a preferred customer.
Hey.
But Jim Carrey in the movie, he kind of wanted more than just being the cable guy. He wanted to kind of form a relationship,
he
a friendship.
Wanted to be the best friend.
And then lines were crossed.
Big time.
Just a few.
Some lines were crossed.
Just a few.
That was a problem. We're back here on DVD. Now, what we're doing, we want to break down this Tennessee-Kentucky game. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. Kentucky beat Tennessee twice. Mm-hmm. Now, we've got some people on our text line that have weighed in, because we kind of gave, hey, Tennessee didn't do this, didn't do that. But Kentucky fans have a word with us.
Exactly. And I have we have a texter, didn't identify themselves. But the text was, Tennessee hasn't been in the final. I'm just going to read, it's like three texts. They're short. Four texts. Tennessee hasn't been to the finals before ever, and it won't start this year. Kentucky by 90, you homers. So he called us homers. I can understand why he called us homers, because of the way we were explaining it. I asked, can they beat them for the first time all season. So I wasn't being a homer, but it is what it is. Don't bring up injuries, which gets to our point, because what did we talk about? Sakai Ziegler, getting banged up, them not shooting well. So we gave one side of the story, but we didn't give the other side, maybe because we were coming toward the end with Hutt. But they make a valid point here, the texter. Kentucky hasn't had or didn't have Butler, Robinson, and Carr for a lot of the seasons. Also, beat Kentucky without Butler and Carr. So both of those guys, both are key guys on Kentucky's team. They were not there in at least, I don't know if they were there in both of them, but I know at least one of them, they didn't have these services or they were not available in that Tennessee game. So whoever that texter is, thank you for listening and thank you for texting in. But you're right. As much as we can say, bring up the guy Ziegler getting banged up in the first game, or them shooting, having a horrendous shooting percentage in both games from the three, Kentucky still beat them without two of their guys.
It's a great point. There is a stat on the KenPom where, KenPom is incredible. I don't know what we would do without KenPom now. Every announcer who's doing every game refers to KenPom with all these stats, and I hope KenPom is a great success and happy with his life, because he has done us such a great service.
Shout out Ken.
Shout out Ken. Shout out. He's got a stat among all of his other stats. Mm-hmm. Minutes continuity. In other words, how often do you put the same line out? Like role definition. Mm-hmm. Like the DVD starting five, or I guess we don't have five. It's a four, right? We start the same four guys every show. Now, today our continuity is off because we don't have Adam, right?
Yes. So we don't got our point guard.
That would affect our minutes continuity. Mm-hmm. Adam's getting no minutes today.
Yeah, none.
Sometimes
whatsoever.
If I have to miss part of the show because of the morning skate, my minutes continuity is off. So yes. DVD's minutes. So Kentucky, they rank the teams in Division one through however many Division one teams there are. And so let's just see how many there are, by the way. Any guesses? How many Division one teams there are officially?
Isn't it like 300-something?
It's 300-something. What's your guess? How many Division one teams now are there in basketball?
Man. In basketball? Closer to...
It's getting up there.
Yeah, it's closer to
400. It used to be around 300-ish.
It's closer
way
to 400.
Way back
when
I was playing Division one, I think there might have been under 300, right around 300. The number has now grown to 364.
I was going to say 378.
So 364. Uh-huh. Where does Kentucky rank in minutes continuity?
Uh-huh.
I knew to look at this because I heard Mark Pope on the day of the selection show. He did an interview on a podcast, and he said his SID informed him of this number. And he was like, look, buddy, you can tell me. I already knew. Like, because of all these injuries, they obviously have not had a consistent same lineup every night. And so if they're as healthy as they've been all year, that's going to be a big factor in this game. So where do you think they rank out of 364?
They have to toward the bottom.
Oh, you're
360.
Right. He says 360. What do you say, D-Base?
Out of 360.
Are you going prices right?
Out of 360, I say 363.
355. They are ranked 355 in minutes continuity. So that's where the texter is coming
exactly.
from. He's like, hey, man, we haven't had the same guys.
But then he also
and they got
up,
the thing is they got used to not having the same guys, and they won some
work,
big
yeah.
games without this guy or that guy, and then another guy comes in. So this is really a central question of the game is because they looked really good because they did have the one guy's got the bad shoulder. I'm trying to think of his name. It's escaping me right now. Is it Lamont Butler? Is he the point guard?
Yeah.
I think that's who
yes.
I'm uh-huh. thinking of, right?
Butler.
He's got the big shoulder sling. On, but he can be really good.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, are they gelling the way they're going to need to gel to beat Tennessee for a third time? Because as we just pointed out, Tennessee, they were not at their best
yes.
those two nights. Take nothing away from Kentucky's ability to win those games.
Mm-hmm.
But Tennessee didn't look as good as they can look in those games.
Yeah, and then also two things quickly because the texter followed up and said, says, I love y'all. Only time to talk trash. We love you too. Don't worry about it. We love it
now,
when we
need,
get the correspondence.
No show is
you know,
worth the salt around here
exactly.
unless you have some Kentucky fans weighing in. We
exactly.
we got to have a Kentucky
so
fans
we need to
in.
Keep on with
yeah.
the you know
keep
corresponding.
615-737-1025, by the way. And Tennessee fans, come on back. Let's
exactly.
go.
Exactly. Also, but he said also Tennessee lost at home because they tried to play Kentucky's game, which is Kentucky loves shoot three-pointers. They love that up-paced game. Maybe that's not, you know, that's we don't look at UT as this team that just love to drain threes, but that's what they tried to do with Kentucky, and it didn't work. So that's why they're very intriguing to me because they are a team, and I know every team that gets hot from the outside, listen, if, you know, yeah, they got a shot to make it all the way. But it's not just that. It's what, especially with the guys that they have that can play in the middle of the court. They got rim protectors. They got the guys that can score in that mid-range or that can score in the low post. When you're hitting those threes at a clip that UT's hitting and the defense that they play, yeah, it is hard to beat them because not only now are they knocking down threes, they're playing the defense that is smothering you, that is not allowing you to get, you know, your three-pointers off, play that brand of basketball you want to play. But when they're not shooting well, you know, teams feel like, okay, we can come back. We can play our more so our brand of basketball, which Kentucky did against them. But Kentucky reminds me so much of what Arkansas is doing now. Arkansas is gelling. Mm-hmm. They are becoming better and better. And they were tested this past game big time. And they pulled through. Kentucky's doing the same thing. Kentucky's starting to gel now.
It's going to be a heck of a game.
Yeah.
I'm still leaning Tennessee, but I would love some more commentary on this if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. Phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're back after this. We're back here on DVD. And we're wrapping up hour number two. Mm-hmm. We got some pretty good banter going on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's get in Adam from Portland. Let's see where he wants to go today. Adam, you want to weigh in on this Kentucky-Tennessee matchup here?
Well, it's pretty wild, man, is that I've been willing. So I'm an insurance adjuster, so I go where storms are. And Kentucky always has the storm. So anytime – and I usually have a Tennessee cap on or something, and I got a sticker on my car. So somebody always has something to say. But these guys take it so seriously, basketball up here. And, like, I'm in near Manchester right now, which is it's why I can't believe I got cell reception. But everybody has something to say. A 90-year-old woman will talk crazy to you or look at you funny. I think Tennessee defensively is going to be a real problem for Kentucky. Kentucky feels like their coach is the right coach. So they all love him, from what I can tell. But I just don't think they're going to be able to score enough, you know. And it only takes, like, one. Tennessee has three dudes who can get hot on any night. And if you have one of them go for 20, 25 points, I don't think Kentucky's going to be able to score enough. That's where I'm at, dude. Kentucky fans believe, but I do not believe.
All right, Adam. Well, good stuff.
Hey, listen, if you're just now realizing how deep basketball, college basketball runs with Kentucky alums or just Kentucky fans in the state of Kentucky, you don't follow fan bases. And I know, Adam, you too. I'm just tongue-in-cheek, but he's right. Kentucky fans, I mean, when they're with their team, they are with their team. They invented basketball. Forget about
Indiana.
In their
own mind. Yeah.
In their minds, no, it ain't about Indiana. It's about us. It's about the state of Kentucky, not the state of Indiana. So, you know, I get it. Listen, both of these teams, I think they has their deficiencies. Maybe Kentucky has more deficiencies than UT. But for whatever reason, this matchup has not been good for the Vols. It just hadn't. For whatever, we can name the reasons why, you know, the Vols lost. But then we could say, hey, listen, they didn't have some of their guys as well. So as much as we look at this, man, it's just maybe because if you are a boxing fan, you know that it's styles that make fights. That's what make fights. Like Deontay Wilder and what was the other? I'm forgetting it. Why am I forgetting the other heavyweight's name from overseas? Not Slichkov. The one he
Drago.
Yeah, no, not what was the big not the
Ivan
not
Drago.
Slichkov
Rocky
brothers. No. I'm talking about the one that's champion now. Well, he just lost. From Ireland. Is he from Ireland somewhere? The big 6'7" guy from Ireland. Is it from Ireland? Yeah. But anyway.
You can go back to Ali versus
exactly.
Frazier.
You those know, three,
the styles
those,
make
those
fights.
Two guys yeah. have fought, I think, three times. And outside of the one, you know, the first fight where many thought Wilder lost that fight. Every other fight after that, Wilder was dominated. It ended up getting knocked out. That doesn't mean Wilder isn't one of the greatest champions. It just means the style of fight that he fights with when he's fighting this.
Tyson Fury.
Yeah, Tyson Fury. When he's fighting Tyson Fury, it just doesn't match. Tyson Fury can fight him 10 times, 10 more times, and win 9 of them. Because the style of fight matters. When picking opponents, it matters.
Matchup.
Ask Tommy Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard. It matters, you know, when you go up against opponent more than one time and you seem to can't win or you have a hard time at winning because styles make fights. This may be
Is it Tyson Fury that you're talking about?
Yeah, David Gibbs. Yeah. Tyson Fury.
Parametal Henry also weighing in on the
He's also from the UK.
Exactly. Yeah. He's from the UK. There it go. I said from Ireland, but UK. I'm sorry. But maybe Styles in this situation makes the game, which doesn't favor UT. Doesn't favor UT. Because Kentucky is going to shoot from the three-point line. And if you try to play their game, which it seems like they've tried to play, you're going to lose if you're not hitting. Because they're gonna take more threes. And they're going to do the things necessary. So in order to beat them, you can't play their style of play. But it's almost like they're forcing it on UT. Like, you're going to play our style of play no matter what, regardless of what you try to do. And maybe that's not – maybe they're running up against the wrong team at the wrong time.
Glenn – on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, 615-737-1025. Adam from Portland, being an insurance adjuster, absolutely tracks. Okay. Thanks, Paul, for weighing in. He has no comment on the game or anything.
No.
Just wanted to comment on Adam. Glenn from Greenbrier. UK can't score enough. 78 and 75 is all it took. UT can't score enough, LOL. And I do think that that is... That's where the Styles make fights. I think Kentucky probably, in fairness, probably is more explosive offensively than Tennessee. But Tennessee, we know, wins with the defense. I still like Tennessee in this game, but let's see how it plays out. Mark in Ashland City wants to one-up everybody. He says it doesn't matter who wins that game. The Gators had their push-to-the-limits moment against the back-to-back champs. Walter Clayton has ice in his veins. The Gators will be the champs. Go Gators, chomp chomp.
Hey.
I've got Florida winning the whole thing.
Yeah,
I will come clean with that.
The way they played against UConn, and people may look at it as UConn wasn't the same team they were in last year when they just came off winning back-to-back championships. They're not that same team. But I want to tell you this. As crazy as Hurley, the head coach, is.
Now, that's pretty high level.
He got a damn good team. And they respond to him. Had they gotten past Florida, it would have spelled trouble moving forward. Because I think that's the game that UConn would have gotten back that championship swagger. Because they were going toe-to-toe with Florida. And Florida is a long team, man. They are a good team. Like, offensively, and they are a good team. And had UConn won that game, I would have probably changed. If the Spartans would end up losing, I would have probably picked UConn to win the whole thing based off of that game, because I think that would have been a catapult game for them, because they just now starting to get healthy, too. They're picking it up as well. And I think they're like an Enzo type of team, or one of these teams that may be up and down a little bit during the season, but once they get into tournament play, it just clicks.
They had them on the ropes. They had Florida on the ropes. Florida looked tight, and they looked like they might be ripe to get beat there. Then Clayton, I agree with the texter there. Mm-hmm. He
just
took him on his shoulders and said, "We're okay. I'm going to take you there." And maybe that strengthens Florida and has them playing better. That could be an interesting theory. Maryland got the buzzer beater, but I think Florida's better than Maryland. Let's find out. The thing is, because there's no Cinderella teams, there's no real lopsided games on paper, it looks like, which could be really fun on Thursday and Friday. All right, we're out of time for this hour. We'll come back. We'll get more going on this. We'll mix in a little bit more football talk as well. And, hey, it's opening day in baseball tomorrow. How about that? Looking forward to that. 615-737-1025 for our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hey, Predators are in action tomorrow. If you want to win tickets to a Predators game, be listening to Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning for Preds Pick to Click. All you have to do is guess a Preds goal scorer, and if they put the puck in, you win. Be listening tomorrow morning for the cue to call on Robbie and Rex Road.